This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, we're about to go around the NFL on, yes, indeed, Sports Radio 610. Not that other thing that happened. We welcome into the studio the homie, Brandon Scott. B. Scott, what's happening, man?
Oh, man, it'd be good if I turned the mic on. Good to
it's
be here,
good.
Man.
It's not the first mistake that's happened on this show today.
I was going to say, I don't even know what you was talking about, that other thing that happened.
That's right,
man. But it's good, man. Good to be here, man. Y'all were talking about the most awkward. I could not help but to think about all the awkward moments in my life.
That's right.
And the most awkward ones are ones that I would never share on the radio. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably for most people. But I do have one that is pretty interesting that happened about a month ago, about maybe a month and a half ago, right after New Year's. I spent the time in Denver. And I was assaulted by a woman in broad daylight. Assaulted by a woman on the streets of Denver on the 16th Street Mall. No, physically assaulted by a stranger, unprovoked, in broad daylight.
You did something, didn't you?
I did not do any walks. Now, I do have people that theorize that maybe I reminded this person of somebody. Mm-hmm. Or maybe they thought that they owed me one, or I was somebody that they owed one. And maybe I was just like collateral damage, or, you know, that sort of thing. But this happened, man. Like, I'm crossing the street on the 16th Street Mall. There's construction everywhere. Anybody that's been to Denver lately would know that, man, it's just torn up.
Yeah.
And so I see a woman pulling a barricade, coming closer and closer to me, and I'm moving out of her way because she looks like she might be unhoused, mm-hmm. or, you know, something. But I assume she must be a construction worker since she's working on this barricade. And, dude, before I know it, she hooks me with the left.
Damn.
Right in the left.
Damn.
Just dead. And she didn't.
Just popped.
And listen, I ate the punch, but she didn't miss. She did not miss for a second. Didn't draw blood. I ate the punch. Wasn't it really a.
Did she stick and move, or was she just here?
So she hits me. I got a coffee in my hand. I immediately throw my coffee at her and say, "What the F is wrong with you?" Yeah. And then start following the woman. And then at that point is when I realized,
I better not.
Hey, I'm willing to beat this woman's ass in broad daylight. I really don't have any moral objections to it. But what's going to happen to me, though?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so then I started thinking about
that. So she just walked up to you and popped you in the mouth.
Popped me in the mouth unprovoked. Had never seen this woman, had never spoken to this woman, had never seen her in my life. And can't tell you the last time I've been punched in the face. But now it was like January 3rd.
Yeah. Okay.
Of this year.
Yeah. So it just happened.
Very, very awkward. Because what do you do when you're ready to beat a woman?
She draw blood?
No blood. No blood, no cuts, no nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Ate the punch. It was. I mean, really, I was glad that it was just her.
Big woman?
I mean, I was bigger than her.
Yeah. So, Look at you doing reporting. He just started getting, let me get all the details of the situation.
No, she wasn't big. She wasn't bigger than me. So, like, I mean, and so I was glad that it wasn't like a dude that was bigger than me would have knocked me out because I wasn't expecting to get punched in the face at 11 o'clock in the morning.
I don't think anybody really
is. In downtown Denver.
Yeah, I don't know if
anybody. Or 16th Street Mall. So,
really, yeah. Truly is. More people coming in with their awkward moments as well. Somebody said from the 281 was telling a guy how hot a lady was. It was his daughter. Yeah, dog.
Oh, man.
In a similar vein, Jamie said they made fun of a customer about her hair looking like a chia pet to her coworkers. Coworker said, that's my aunt. So, yeah, all those probably in a bad space. And then somebody else said they were delivering a package to an unlocked office door to find out owner and admin. Mm-hmm. Getting it in. So, yeah, there's a lot of those types of things. Yeah. Those, yep, definitely thrust into some awkward places. Awkward places there. All right, let's go around the NFL here in the loop. And we begin with the news that today is the day where franchise tags begin, where it begin being available as of 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Central. The opportunity to franchise tag or transition tag your players is open. And I just want to start by saying we're all good on that, right? Like we're not expecting to see anything like that, right?
I don't even know who I'd want to franchise
tag. The only possibility is Stephon Diggs, and that's not a possibility.
Yeah.
I think the number would be something about 26 and a half.
Yeah.
And that's literally more than you would have than you would be paying Nico Collins next season.
Yeah,
I don't think that that's a smart idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're glad to be in a position where you're not even having that discussion, where you're not even having a player who is, because you know the franchise tag, transition tag, all of that is like an awkward kind of mediation between are we going to part ways or not? Like I want to keep you around. I'm not obviously not cutting you, but I'm not committing to signing you to a long-term deal. Puts a player kind of in limbo, but also, you know, sets them up at least for a year. But and so, you know, we've seen it work out for some players, right? Mm-hmm. Kirk Cousins, Dak Prescott, ultimately. But, yeah, you're glad to not have that situation.
No, for sure.
No, so, yeah.
At least not yet.
At least not yet.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, I think that's
Will Anderson coming up pretty soon, and Stingley coming up soon. And
look, CJ seems like an obvious one. But like that's why the offensive coordinator stuff is important, and getting this offense back on track is important. So you're not looking up in a couple of years and talking about you expected to pay CJ $60 million a year, and to reach a place where you're talking about are you going to franchise tag him? Like that's something to look ahead to.
Yeah.
I think really the big thing is just making sure that you start early on any of these. Like all these dudes feel like ones that are easy decisions on you would want them to stay, and it just seems like the smart way of doing this is getting those things done earlier rather than later, and then just playing the Tetris that is fitting them within the salary cap to make those extensions work. Because the later that you wait, we've seen teams wait late on whether or not they want to extend, and usually that's trying to decide if they like those players, which I don't think is the case for the Texans team. And then you pay more. You just inherently pay more in all these circumstances.
Yeah, and the Texans do seem like they have a few where we sit right now, CJ seems like a no-brainer. Will Anderson seems like a no-brainer. Derek Stingley Jr. seems like a no-brainer. So, and those are foundational pieces. So you feel like you're in a good spot.
Yeah, I think and one of the things that's interesting also around the division, I don't think anybody really has franchise tag candidates in a real way. So I don't think that's anything that we really have to look at. Now, speaking of franchise tags, we go to Cincinnati. And Cincinnati is an interesting team in this regard because they're in a place where they're trying to keep their core together or some level of a core together. And obviously Joe Burrow, but then also you have the likes of T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase. All of them, they need to figure out and settle how they will keep them together. Now, of course, Joe Burrow is the lock. He's the one that you're locked in on. But Ja'Marr Chase still needs to figure out. They need to figure out contractual situations there. And T. Higgins, according to reports, as of yesterday, the Bengals seemingly plan to use their non-exclusive, mind you, franchise tag on T. Higgins for a second straight year. And that's a prohibitive move. Like the cost of that jumps with a particular percentage.
So what, like 26 or something like that?
I think it's more, right? Because it's not just that first immediate one. It's year over year having to get that. I'll get you that number here shortly. But do you like that for the Bengals particularly? And do you think that's a smart move considering that, I mean, otherwise they would lose him if they did not.
They've already taken enough steps back, right? Like I think they've got the issue of having probably not invested enough in the right spots. And so you don't, for them, they're in a rock and a hard place. And they're kind of a cautionary tale for the Texans, really, when you're a team that drafts well and accumulates talent that's all around the same age, all around the same time. And you got that, you know, we talk about that window of the quarterback being on the rookie deal and being able to build around an elite quarterback who's not expensive. Now, obviously, Joe Burrow has, yeah, and he's talking about, you know, restructuring his deal to right, make things right. Workable to put a team around him. But they are a cautionary tale in that way, right? Because we're talking about this exact thing with the Texans mm-hmm. of having a lot of players who were drafted around the same time, who have hit, who look like guys you're going to have to pay eventually. So this is something to monitor from that standpoint. But as far as liking it for the Bengals, I don't know what other options they have if they want to be competitive, if they want to maximize their Joe Burrow window, whatever that is.
Right. And I mean, it's they're trading the short-term commitment for a lot of money. You're right. 26.16.
It is.
Is that secondary franchise hit that they would have here. And that's just above what is the typical non-exclusive tag, which is 25.7, which is what you'd be talking about for Stephon Diggs if you were for some reason to do that. Obviously, worth noting, Stephon Diggs and the Texans did not get anything done yesterday, which yeah. I don't think was expected necessarily. So that void year is going to be there. That's the dead cap money that is going to be there in the 16 and change million dollars. And I imagine that Nick Caserio and them were already considering that, and they already know that they're going to have to flip switches and do some level of, accounting, cap accounting, in order to figure out what they're doing. But you can't change that there.
Yeah. This is just going to be a real interesting offseason for Nick Caserio, because I think it's a lot different from last year when it was just like, go all in, spend all of this money on players, let's trade and everything. They're going to have to be a lot more creative and make, I think, a lot. Like, the decisions that I feel like they made were bold, but they were also easy decisions. Like, let's add Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
Let's go get Joe Mixon. Let's pay Danielle Hunter a lot of money, right? Like, those were fairly and relatively easy decisions to make. I don't feel like the decisions that they got to make this offseason are going to be as easy to make.
I don't think they're going to be as easy to make, but I think when it comes to Stephon Diggs, that's the one that we all have to focus on.
Yeah.
Do you want him back versus what you can get in another deal? Yeah. But then you have the cap hit.
Yeah, well, I think the answer is no. Like, right. I think you probably don't, especially coming off the injury. I understand that he's been durable throughout his career. I wouldn't mind seeing it, but like that's the interesting part. Like, do you want Stephon Diggs back? But if not, that position is urgent.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
So what are you doing if you don't bring Stephon Diggs back? Mm-hmm. Which is also an interesting like follow up question.
Yeah,
some other things around the NFL. We were just talking about this a little bit earlier. Netflix seems to be in on the idea of wanting a Sunday afternoon NFL package. So NFL told Matt Belloni of Puck that the company is interested in bidding for NFL's Sunday afternoon games. That's the name of the publication.
Puck, Matt Belloni of Puck?
Yeah, is that a real name?
What do you want me to do?
Side note. Real quick. Matt Maloney,
yeah.
the former point guard for the Houston Rockets.
Maybe, I don't know.
That's what my mom used to call him. Matt Belloni.
Oh, really? Belloni?
Just because she was country and they were used to mispronouncing people's names.
Oh, those are the most fun things, yeah. Especially
so Matt
like
Maloney
your parents,
was Matt Belloni.
I feel like everybody's parents has like one word that they never get right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have a friend who his pops, in trying to say Dodge Durango, would call it the Duranglo.
Yeah.
It's just one that, so I love the idea of Matt Belloni.
My mom can't say funeral.
Oh, for real?
She said funeral. Yeah, she can't say it.
Yeah. It's like that sometimes, man.
It really is.
But yeah, Matt. Why they pass it to Matt Belloni? Why they let Belloni shoot it?
So yeah,
sorry,
man.
Mom.
No, but that's something that we're trying to move further into. And I feel like this might be the international circumstance.
I think you're right. Yeah.
But I mean, the international games would probably be like if they do a package, which again, it seems like they're pushing towards.
But
that feels like that's the morning. They want to get in on this
Sunday. They want to replace Fox or CBS.
How are y'all with this? Are y'all good with this?
It doesn't really matter. I'll watch it. Yeah. You know, if we were looking for me.
Yeah, I feel like I'm not the person to ask because I am obligated
That's where I'm at.
This is work.
Well, not even just obligated, though. Like,
but
I've
keep
got,
in mind, and I was telling Figgy this during a break, you know, they're going down this path, and you're going to have to pay for Netflix to watch all the Sunday afternoon games, which is a habit for most of us, and we get. But every month, you got to pay. You have to decide. Am I paying Netflix and Amazon Prime and ESPN Plus?
Don't forget
this,
Peacock
and,
if you want to watch
Peacock
some
and
of these
this.
Games.
It's going to. The discussion earlier was, are they starting to spread themselves a little thin?
Here's my theory, though. Like, I don't have the numbers on, like, subscribers, like how many subscribe to Peacock and Netflix. Yeah. I don't have all of that. But my theory is, since we know that the world is, everybody's watching everything that we do. If you got one app, then everybody has all of your information, right? I think that they've done the calculation that they understand that there are more people maybe not necessarily like me that has every app, but a lot of people now who have most of the apps.
Yeah.
Because I'm one of those people now who just over time, and it's not just because of sports, but it might be because of some other programming, the reason why I got Peacock, mm-hmm. or the reason why I've had Netflix now for a decade, or the reason why I have, why I haven't watched the NBA on TNT, on actual TNT in years now.
Are you on Max
because
now?
Because I watch it on Max, and I know to do that. I'm programmed to do that. How many more people are like that, and how much are these leagues doing the calculation of how many people are becoming that way?
Well, I don't even know if necessarily that being the metric here, because from the league's perspective, maybe that would make sense. But from the you know, various streaming platforms' perspective, then why do you pay for the NFL? You pay for the NFL because you're like, there's people that are going to go there no matter what. And that's a level of programming that'll bring people in and create new subscribers. I think the thought process is the NFL is such a strong draw that then people will go anywhere.
Yeah.
And I think that lasts to a certain extent. I do wonder what the breaking point is you were talking about. Because there has to be.
There is a bridge too far. We just haven't seen it yet. There is going to be a point where people are like, man, regular people, not sickos, are going to be like, I can't do it.
That must be me, because I must be in the sicko category.
You are.
Because I've got all you the apps.
You Absolutely. Are.
So I'm like, what do you mean that I can't watch it? I've got Peacock.
Yeah.
Sure. Mm-hmm. I watched Yellowstone on Peacock.
Oh, you did?
I'm pretty sure I did. Okay. And other stuff, you know, like I've got Netflix.
I didn't mean to sound so surprised. I was just like, I have not watched it. Yeah, and so. Man,
how long until the Super Bowl is streamed?
Ooh.
How many years?
So it's 2025.
I don't think it's that far away.
10?
Yeah, I was like somewhere in the 5 to 10 range is where I was going.
Where the Super Bowl is streamed only.
Yeah. Stream only, because they did streaming on Tubi recently.
Yeah,
it feels like they're
so going, they testing it out.
But that's more of a Fox. We have it, so we might as well try and gas up.
But
this
they are
other
testing
thing that we have,
they are testing right? it out. Though.
Because here's the thing: if Netflix gets this, they're going to get a Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's true.
Netflix is going to get a Super Bowl if they get this deal.
Yeah.
And at least one.
I think that'd be, what, 33? Is that what we're looking at
something
there?
Something like that.
Well, but I guess the question also, like another part of that is how long before even the big over-the-air spots are offered in that way? Like when do we get to the point where we're just stream only?
Well, that's a question about
that's just the world we live in.
That's a question about like the larger media landscape and does cable die?
Like which happens first, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
I have a feeling in 10 years we're going to be looking back at this conversation thinking how stupid we were. Of course there's going to be stream only.
I think I'm stupid right now.
Of course it's
going to
be stream only.
Well, because everything, I mean, at what point is everything a smart TV?
Yeah.
And everything is on your phone. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, what do you mean change the channel?
Mm-hmm.
Turn that TV off. Like, what are you talking about? The TV is the computer.
Okay. Yeah.
It's the phone. It's the iPad.
I think 100% less than 10 years.
We're already there where it's all very muddled.
Yeah. All of these big corporations are already leaning towards the app now.
Yeah.
Like, go to our app to watch the game and, you know, all this other stuff. So I think they leaning towards it.
Our Airbnb that we stayed in New Orleans.
That's right.
The TV was a smart TV. I cut it on. And it's a Roku.
Yes.
It's got all the apps on it.
That's right.
And what did I say? I was like, oh, you know what? I got all of these apps.
You did, sure did.
I ain't got to worry about nothing about no TV.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to happen. It's going to happen sooner rather than later.
Man, speaking of nickel and dime, man, they nickel and diming us, man. I need to go through and see what I've been watching and save some money. But that's
They're taking us for a ride, man.
That's how to get you. All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610 on a Tuesday. It is a rodeo ticket Tuesday. And we got to give some away for the Bun B. I almost called it the B. Scott. The Bun B birthday bonanza that B. Scott likes, just to put him in there. And you can go. You just got to be calling number 9 right now to 713-572-4610 to get, was it 4 tickets? Is it 4?
It's a 4-pack.
4 of them,
yeah.
To go see Bun B. And I think we have Coco Jones and Keith Sweat confirmed, a couple of R&B. Kinda,
Jagged Edge.
Jagged Edge was confirmed. I missed the Jagged Edge confirmation. Okay, all right.
I didn't even know they were still in the league.
Me neither. I am now happy to let the people know. And all you have to be is call number 9 right now, 713-572-4610. All right. Coming up next in the loop, it's about that time where we give B. Scott a little bit of time, a little bit of space to give B. Scott's thoughts. We'll do that next.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme. From serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Iron Clark, B-Scott
from Iron Clark. Yeah, he's here. B-Scott from Hiram Clark in the studio with us, as he is every Tuesday. What's happening, my man?
Doing good, man. Doing good. I'm here with a few thoughts, man.
So okay, very good.
I have thought of a Stephon Diggs replacement.
Okay.
In light of the news, of course, you know, I think it was more so of just like housekeeping.
Yeah.
We kind of checked the box. We knew this was happening. But since it did happen, it got me thinking, okay, if not Stephon Diggs, and they could still decide to, you know, strike a deal with Stephon Diggs. It's not like it's, you know, for sure a done deal. But I don't think they're going that route. I don't know if Stephon Diggs wants to go that route. But I wonder if there is a replacement within the division that is now in a similar place that Stephon Diggs was last year. And that's Christian Kirk.
Mm-hmm.
I'm keeping an eye on the Christian Kirk market. What exactly is it? Is he going to get traded or is he going to get released before? What's the deadline? June 1st or whatever it is that, you know, before, it's a different kind of cap hit.
Yeah.
Like basically he's the cap casualty for the Jacksonville Jaguars this offseason. And Christian Kirk to me fits a similar role and need that Stephon Diggs would have if he were still here, and even last year, kind of like, you know, wanting to go and get that second receiver, that third receiver last year, I think was the case because you still had Tank Dell. So now you would even say that the urgency is even greater.
Yes.
But to me, Christian Kirk could serve as a not just a consolation prize, but a decent, I think, replacement for what Stephon Diggs could have provided you. What
still,
say y'all?
Still pretty young. Like 28,
29. Yep. Mm-hmm. I think it'll be 29 this season, if I'm not mistaken.
And I guess he was injured this past season, missed some games.
But he ended up,
but he's been pretty durable.
Season ending injuries on the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. And last year was the big year, but it was a collarbone.
Yeah.
Wide receiver with a collarbone, I feel pretty good.
Yeah.
And I feel like he's still got, you know, all of the qualities that made him, you know, honestly a success there in Jacksonville when that deal was, you know, largely criticized.
Big year a couple of years ago.
Yeah. The first season he validated that contract, I think, more so. So yeah, that's somebody I'm keeping an eye on. What y'all think?
I don't mind it.
I like Christian Kirk. Like he's still been a good wide receiver. I think he's really just been a casualty of that contract, which was it when the Jaguars were just like, we got money to give away. And so they were paying people more than they probably should have.
Yeah.
Not thinking about what that does. Like when you frame this player now as that this dollar amount, as opposed to like just the player.
But he changed the way that he's supposed to play. Scott said he lived up to it. Yeah, well, then he got hurt.
First year, then he got hurt. And even the second year, he was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got hurt. And then last year was kind of a wash because, again, he had the collarbone issue. But when he was out there, when he was available, he was excellent. You know, he was obviously their, you know, their top guy. Also, it is worth mentioning with that contract, he opened up a little bit of a Pandora's box. If y'all remember, it was Christian Kirk getting the contract that he got that had Tyreek Hill stand up and say, well, wait a minute.
What'd that say about us?
Y'all gonna have to
redo this.
If this is what Christian Kirk is getting, y'all gonna have to pay me. And it really, honestly, like, flipped and reset the wide receiver market.
It did.
Like, I think the wide receiver market is what it is today, starting with what happened with Christian Kirk going on now 3 years
ago. That's neither here nor there for this squad.
Yeah, exactly. Now it's much different. Like Christian Kirk is not getting that type of contract. He's not coming in with that sort of expectation that he's going to be the guy that got the big contract. No, this is him coming off of that contract. And by the way, he's paid. He's rich now. Mm-hmm. He's got that money. You could probably get him for $10 to $12 million or whatever it might be. You know, whatever you paid Robert Woods or whatever it is. So to me, that is an interesting name to keep an eye out for.
Yeah, I'd be interested in seeing like what it would come for. Like that's really the big thing, because I mean, you're talking about he's still on contract, so maybe if they cut him, like you said,
I'd rather not trade.
Yeah, because I'm always very hesitant of the double pay.
Yeah.
Where you trade for a dude and then you have to like sign him to a contract. I don't think that Christian Kirk would fall in that bucket, but you trade for him and you'd be dealing with a guy who you have a short-term deal on And I mean, there's void years tacked onto that. Yeah. So you'd have to negotiate or like figure out the way that you'd be handling all of those things. But like just as a player in and of itself. Also, one of the things I like is get another dude who has like the opportunity to give you some deep shots. And I know that's something that is inherently, you know, baked into what CJ Stroud likes doing. So having another guy who is capable of doing that.
Yeah.
Not enough speed on this offense.
No. Mm-hmm. No.
Just straight up.
Especially mm-hmm. not enough speed that's just going to go and attack downfield in the way that you really want. So, yeah, no, I'm with you there. I like it as a potential. It'd have to be at the right number. It'd have to be, like, affordable.
Yeah. A lot of my idea is predicated on hoping that nobody is bold enough to go out there and trade for him.
Right.
Because, mm-hmm. I don't want the Texans to do that. But also, I'd like to sign the guy. So, I don't want anybody else to do that either. Yeah. And so, I'm kind of – there is some hope trafficking of, hey, hopefully that market turns out to be – him of being somebody that you could get off the street, so to speak.
I like it. I like the idea. There's a few of those guys that are interesting. And look, I end up getting in trouble a little bit because I'm not going to be like locked in on one dude in particular in these spaces, because I've always subscribed to the notion that there's a lot of ways to cook chicken. Like there's various ways to get to yep. the desired effect, and you can get me there in various ways. Someone on the text line is pointing to like somebody like Darius Slayton. Yeah. Who is somewhat similar in that vein, where yep. he's going to be a free agent. He's still pretty young. He's going into his age 28 season. And then, you know, similarly kind of situated, where he is a good wide receiver, maybe not a great wide receiver, but he can come in and provide you something. I think in both of those instances, I would still like to see a wide receiver drafted, though.
All right, let me run another idea by y'all. Mm-hmm. This Nick Haley thing.
Okay.
Are y'all not worried that, like, obviously we want him to be a success, right?
Of course.
We want it to work well.
What would it say about me if I was like, no, you know what? I don't want it to be successful.
You know what? You're wrong.
I want it to suck. Yeah. And you know what? You're free to do that.
Yeah. I'm not going to.
I wouldn't be mad at you at all. But I'll speak for myself. I want it to be a success.
Yes.
Okay?
Agreed.
Now, if it is, though, are y'all not worried that this dude is one and done and we're right back here in a similar situation?
Oh, I think that's a possibility, but I'm not worried. You almost want that.
You do. Yeah. But I feel like Bobby Slowick's journey here is a bit of a cautionary tale. Like, mm-hmm. Between listening to Nick Haley at the end of last week and then reading all the literature that we've gotten over the weekend, right? Namely, the DJ Bieniemy article in ESPN. Thinking about it, and that gave me a chance to reflect on mm-hmm. the parts of Bobby that were, you know, the parts of that experience that were successful. I mean, this guy went from interviewing for 4 to 5,
yeah.
however many head coaching jobs, and even one despite the drop back. This past year, you know, going to do the Jets interview, going from that to losing his job and having to go on as a whatever his job is now with the
senior passing game coordinator.
Yeah, where he's basically sharing that job with another guy, mm-hmm. with Darrell Bevell. Like, to go from that to this in 1 year, it's kind of a cautionary tale for Nick Haley of like, hey, man. You remember last year
yeah.
when D'Amico Ryans was like, hey, man, my advice to Bobby would be to be selective. It would also be to like strike while the iron
Go.
Is hot. And I'm not saying that anybody offered him a job because I don't know that
sure.
or have that.
Right.
But if they do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The next year two could look like what it looked like.
Well,
maybe you disconnect with the players and the communication breaks down or the offensive line gets hurt or something happens with the quarterback.
Yeah.
Who the hell knows what's going to happen in year two?
I could not agree more. I think it's a good problem to have. It's the neighborhood you want to live in. You want to be in that neighborhood where your coordinators are leaving.
Well, I don't know inherently as an NFL team that you do, but the cautionary tale was not hiring Nick Haley. The cautionary tale is hiring a defensive head coach.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that's why the league has gone to this trend of hiring offensively inclined head coaches, because then you don't worry about your offense turning over year in those ways, especially because defense tends to be a little bit more year
but it works
over
both
year
ways.
In some ways.
Offensive-minded head coaches lose D coordinators.
Sure, but that's what I was talking about.
That's the world in which you want to live.
Yeah, but what I'm talking about is like defense year over year is already kind of a tumultuous thing anyways, mm-hmm. and I think it's a little bit less fraught. When you have a defensive head coach, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't, I'm actually very comfortable with what you have to then be comfortable with the notion of, hey, you have to hire a guy pretty frequently because you're going to be they're going to be taking it from you. And I think that I'm not worried also because if that happens, that means that you see D'Amico Ryans as a dude who made this hire correctly. And that gives you more, I think, confidence for me that he'll be able to do that again the next time, and that it was just the first time and it was hectic and it was his first time doing it, but now he's kind of ironed out some of the kinks and he'll know what to look for in the next offensive coordinator that you would have to hire if things were successful.
Yeah, I wonder for Nick Caley how he's kind of taking all of this in, because like he's really got an opportunity here given what the team is and what the quarterback is. Mm-hmm. Like, are you on this journey to kind of like really hone in on being an offensive coordinator, or is it going to be like one of those situations where you got to look out for what's best for your career and strike while the iron's hot? And is the advice not what it was a couple of years ago, and that's be selective?
Yeah.
You know, is the advice actually go ahead and get that, but go ahead and get that job?
It's the John Calipari model of look, man.
Yeah.
I know I'm a stepping stone. Come in and do what we do. Now, I will say the one cautionary tale of the things I'm concerned about, sorry, not to take too much time here, is he's not bringing in a staff. So it's not like, hey, we're going to have this guy who also is a part of that system then probably slide up into that role.
Yeah, yeah.
Where you talk about a young quarterback, new coordinator, whether it's a good one or whether it's because a good one left or because a bad one left, a new coordinator is a new coordinator. And so CJ Stroud having to learn, you know, a new iteration of the offense, even or entirely new offense in a year's time, that is the thing that makes me go, oh, okay, well, do you want to continue to keep putting him under that pressure? Even though I think that he's smart enough and capable of picking up whatever you put down.
I don't want to ignore your next thought, but we might have to kick it down to the next segment because I think it's an interesting one.
Oh, we got more thoughts?
Yeah. He's got a big one.
We got more thoughts.
A big one.
Yeah.
Okay,
we definitely got more thoughts.
You know what? I'm flexible. Coming up next, let's get some more thoughts and what's popping here in the loop. We'll do it next.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
All right, let's get into What's Poppin'. And we are joined, as we always are on Tuesdays, by B. Scott. There's some more thoughts in there, and I would like to get into those.
All right, so I am awkwardly leaning into this Jose Altuve in left field.
Let's do it.
Thing.
Let's do it.
For as absurd as it sounds, and as ridiculous as it might seem, I'm starting to kind of get into it because it's just easier to understand why it is that they're doing it. Like, think about it like this. If they had an actual left fielder, if they had a certified guy out there, it'd be a much more difficult thing to do and a much more difficult conversation to have because you're not moving your, you know, this guy out of that position to put Jose Altuve out there. But they don't. And what they do have is an issue with Jose Altuve at second base.
Correct.
And then the awkward part there is your utility guy, one of your backups in Mauricio Dubon, is objectively a better, just overall infielder, but specifically a better second baseman than the guy that you've got playing second base
for. Defensively.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, no, obviously defensively is what we're talking about here. Because the whole issue is, obviously, you want to keep Jose Altuve's bat in the lineup. That's the part that is non-negotiable. You're not taking your leadoff hitter, your franchise icon, who still is good, Jose Altuve, out of the lineup. You're trying to find a way to keep him in the lineup. Desperately, by the way.
Yeah. Correct.
Trying to find a way to keep him in the lineup. And so what do? You go out and put him in the position that, for one, you've got a hole at. There's nobody there. And B, it's also the space where sometimes you'll hide your weaker defensive players if you can. If they can do it. If they can just play replacement level outfield, you know, outfield play, right? Just replacement level. Then you can survive with them out there, you know, until you maybe figure something else out. Or, you know, on the nights where, you know, maybe you have Jose Altuve, maybe Jose and Yordan at some point or flip-flopping or whatever it is, platooning the DH in the left field spot. So I'm leaning into it because I think it fills a hole, I think, in left field, and then also fixes an issue that has come up at second base that maybe we weren't as quick to acknowledge because who was playing there.
And I'm not even sure I would use the word fixes. It just moves the issue to a slightly less prominent place.
Mm-hmm.
Like, second base is just too important.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
For the decline, like, in defense.
To have the decline in left field is much more doable than it is in second base.
100%.
So, and I guess that's why I use fixes, because what you can't have is, look, let's just call it what it is. Jose Altuve statistically, and you brought up this stat last week.
The OAA.
The OAA.
And I didn't remember the name, but I knew the stat.
It's outs above average, and he was the second worst defensive second baseman in terms of outs above average last season. It went from slightly below average the year before to just off a cliff last year. And we know that also that there have been times where he's had the Gibbs just throwing it to first base.
Yeah.
That's another issue in left field, by the way, of like, who's he ever throwing? Where's he ever, like, where's his relay ever going?
But shortstop and third,
yeah,
as opposed to
but
other places.
But the point is, though, you can't have it. You cannot have that level of play. And I think their decline, we don't really talk about this a lot, but their decline defensively is, to me, connected and tied to their decline overall as a team.
So here's where, first of all, I have a bad feeling about how it's going to look in left field. I get it, though. Second base is more important. You're on the ball.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is if you have a bad feeling about left field, how you feel about second base?
Hear me out, as they like to say. I have a bad feeling. Even if you set aside what he might look like in left field, are you kind of rearranging the deck chairs offensively? Because your second baseman is not going to be very good offensively at all. Like you know, Mauricio Dubon, first of all, you're taking away the utility part of his game, which is crucial to this team. But he's a guy that doesn't really bat over 250, 260, doesn't have an OPS over 600, 650. My point is, yes, you're putting Jose Altuve in left field, and even if you can set aside growing pains or whatever you want to call it defensively, you got a bat in left field, and that's what you really want. What are you doing to second base?
An issue. It's an issue. Yeah. I cannot dismiss that, Lopez. My hope is that Mauricio Dubon is just kind of a stopgap, kind of until somebody emerges within the organization that can play. And I feel like there are some candidates that could possibly do that. And until you get there, maybe Mauricio Dubon is the guy. Maybe Jose does still play some second base. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you're kind of just figuring it out until somebody emerges as that guy. The issue, kind of pertinent to this point, is that Jose Altuve can't be the everyday guy.
Yeah.
Like, and that's the awkward part that nobody's really wanting to say out loud, with all due respect to Jose Altuve, rightfully with respect to Jose Altuve, but he ain't good at second base no more. And mm-hmm. you got to keep his bat in the lineup. And so do you try to hide him literally, like hide his little ass in left field and then figure it out at second base with what seems like, you know, not just Mauricio Dubon, but hell, maybe anybody that plays second base on their team might be a better option.
Yeah, and I think that, again, this feels like one of those things where you might be moving around the deck chairs before a short period of time, because it feels like, look, man, how fast can Bryce Matthews get to the majors? Yeah. Like, that's what it feels like is the conversation that is being had, and especially that when it comes to that, how fast can he get to the majors? It's not defensively. It's how fast can the stick get to a place where we feel comfortable with that being in a major league lineup facing off against major league hitting. I think that's where you probably are, and I appreciate the 832 texting in. Baseball gurus, left field gets a lot more action than second base. Most guys right-handed, they pull the ball. Yes, they're going to have to pull the ball. You have a little bit friendlier left field, but we're not going to pretend like, you know, I understand left field gets action. I'm not going to say a lot more action than second base, friend.
Yeah, no, it might get more action volume, but I'm talking about in terms of degree of difficulty of the job. I'm not talking about how often necessarily
because that
can also change from game to game, right? What if you go up against a more left-handed heavy lineup or a pull heavy lineup, like it, that can change from game to game. I'm talking about the degree of difficulty of the job. Mr. Baseball Guru, want to be a smart ass. Look, I know what the hell I'm talking about. Okay, you tell me, do you not hide your worst defensive players in left field if you can?
That's what everybody does.
Is that not a thing?
Jordan was out there.
Did I make that up?
I can't say that you made that
come
up.
Come on.
Man. I cannot say
that's all. And that's clearly what they're trying to do here, right? Like, it's kind of really transparent, the hand that they're playing here.
Yeah. Some other things that are popping. I'm with you there. Like, this is the place where I have to be, right? Because of the way that you have the situated, the circumstances that the Astros have themselves in. But yeah, this feels like best way to try and go about accomplishing those goals, not having that huge hole at second and trying to keep that bat in the lineup. We'll see how well it goes. And of course, that's what spring training is for. We'll get a feel for those things. All right. How about this? The AP basketball poll came out for the week. The Houston Cougars moved from sixth now to fifth. They're constantly making that step up. And it feels like, as of right now, I think I was looking at Joe Lunardi's bracketology. They'd be on the number two line. Now, uncomfortably enough, he has them on the number two line in the bracket with Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, how did that happen?
Yeah.
But they would be on the two line. How high do we feel like they can go?
I think
right
they can
now,
be a one.
Right now, they're looking really good.
I think they can be a one because the SEC is going to sort of prey on each other going into their conference tournament, et cetera. Five out of the top seven teams in the entire AP poll are from the SEC. That's not going to be the way it is at the end of tournaments. Yeah. You know, so UH can easily get to a one seed.
Yeah. I have to double check now if it's the same for the Big 12, but I know the last time I talked to y'all, it was the same. Like, the Big 12 had five in the top 25 as well. So what I'm saying there is I think the strength of the conference and the strength of their schedule and what they've been able to accomplish up to this point, the brand of ball that they've been playing, the win, like these wins that they've gotten, this tough stretch that they've had, right? Yeah. Most recently I'm talking about against Arizona and showing up the way that they did. I feel like the quality of wins ever since that, you know, that Texas Tech game, I feel like the quality of wins that they've put out there have been the type that, like, show you number one, like number one seed type of stuff.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is five of the top seven.
I got you.
So they're going to end up being like two or three. The only problem is, doesn't UH play Texas Tech at Lubbock coming up next week?
They do. They have a couple of tough matchups still to come in their schedule. And, of course, that includes Iowa State here locally on Saturday. They'll get Arizona tonight. Arizona State. That's an entirely different challenge. Yeah. And then Texas Tech in Lubbock on the 24th.
Yeah.
So they
got to get through those.
About a week.
Yeah.
So they've got some tough ones. But, again, I thought that game on, was it Saturday, that they won against Arizona at McHale? I thought that was huge because, again, and you correct me if you think I'm wrong here, B. Scott, I said this yesterday. I think that's a game that in the last two, three seasons that they lose. When you don't have one of your major offensive guys going, you could defensively keep teams close, but they couldn't get that over. It was great seeing Uzan come through and, like, add the additional scoring in a place where he was not – you don't typically budget that in on the offense in order to get over.
Yeah, Uzan probably somebody that we don't talk about as much, especially with the kind of season that Juwan Roberts has had. I know we talk a lot about Emmanuel Sharpe because of the injury and how important that was getting him back. But Uzan, like, we're talking about the depth or the number of guys that you can go to for a bucket. This is the reason why the answer to your question earlier, how high can they reach or how far can they go? The reason why they can be a number one seed, and we talked about this before, is because they still play the same brand of Kelvin Sampson type of basketball defensively that they ever have, but now they got more options offensively and can do more on the offensive end and can even compensate for nights when they don't look as good because they got enough guys that can get you a bucket.
Yep. So feel good about that one. If anyone cares, which I'm not sure anyone does, I'm still working on making sure to get to the Iowa State game on Saturday. And some other things, real quick, what's popping. We will officially get the matchup of USA versus Canada on Thursday after Canada got a win. What was it, yesterday? Was it yesterday afternoon? So, yes, I don't know that we'll get fist fights again, but I imagine that a lot of us will be watching.
It'll be physical. Going to be physical.
And that's the thing. They don't have to fist fight. They just got to get out here and play physical, and we know that they will in that rivalry. And confirmation that what we got during Super Bowl week between Patrick Mahomes Sr. John Rocker.
I knew it.
Patrick Mahomes Sr. admitted that was staged.
Yeah.
It didn't look staged. They did a good job, but I just the next less than 12 hours later, they're saying, they're boxing. They're fighting, whatever it is.
Yeah. One of those, you might want to rubberneck and just see how this goes.
No.
Is this still happening?
I'm good on that one.
Awkward. Yeah, it's happening. I'm not interested.
Yeah. I don't want to admit that I'm interested.
Just post a clip on Twitter.
But that's
part of it.
That's part of being interested. Yeah, man, I just
I
ain't about to pay for it go out my way. Yeah. But just put it on the timeline.
Fair enough.
I'm gonna be like, so what happened now?
I gotta see this.
I'm good on it. You can keep that one for me. And yes, 409 is correct. I keep doing this where in my head I'm like, I know it's one of these pronunciations, but I always get it wrong. It's Uzan rather than Uzan.
Our apologies.
Yes, definitely apologies. And it's because my brain, I'm like, all right, I'm gonna remember this next time, and then I know I have to think about it. So then I stop and think about it. I'm like, damn, which one is it?
Yep.
It is Uzan. And he had 19 in a big victory on Saturday versus Arizona.
Shout out to 409. Yeah, and Uzan doing his thing.
Doing his thing
out there.
Yeah. Put some respect on his name and say it properly, and we will. All right. B. Scott, we always appreciate you hopping in with us. Great thoughts as always, and we will catch you next week on this program. But I mean, you hop on with the drive
anytime.
And everything. You around.
Yeah,
you already around.
Yeah, man, I'll be around tomorrow at 4:40. So y'all check us out, man. It's been fun.
All right.
As always.
Yes, sir. Yes,
appreciate
sir.
Appreciate you.
All right. Oh, man, you know it. All right. In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into this. Do any of these likely free agents intrigue you, including, are there any must-keep free agents on the Texans right now that you have to sign back? 713-572-4610. Let's discuss that next.